Money, 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 money.
Money.
Yep. That was the lead into The Apprentice, wasn't it? Yep, it's a Ken Braverman podcast. Welcome to August. It's 5:33 on the AMs on the East Coast. How's it going? It's a Ken Braverman podcast. Money. Yes. I'll try to get somewhere where it's not windy. Because I've been told, you got to stop podcasting in the wind, man. It's annoying on my ears. Don't you know you're doing an audio product? Can't you, like, think about doing it in a properly recorded atmosphere so that you aren't hurting the ears of your listeners? I will attempt to do that folks. But, I mean, even though my grandpa's deaf, I can't really record in the house. I don't want to be, like, screaming into the phone while he's sleeping. Although he'll be up soon. Anyway, plus we're walking to get coffee. It's really the walking to get coffee podcast. You've heard about comedians and cars getting coffee. How about Ken goes and walks to get coffee and records a podcast? Because it's about 17 minutes if I go the long way. Anyway, all right. I have so much to discuss. I had to pod because I'm excited. All right. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about money today in all of its forms. I'm going to just briefly lay it out, right? Money does make the world go round, sort of. However, just like anything else, you can get addicted to money. And your addiction manifests itself out in crazy ways. And it's not good for you or everybody around you. Money can more money, more problems. That can happen. Right. And I think that there are people who live on this planet who are addicted to victory, are addicted to working hard. It's about being human, too. Addicted to getting as much money as they can and like fighting to be number one on a Forbes list or something. It's sickness. It is a sickness, you know. And so this need and desire for accumulating money leaves the rest of us that don't have this addiction to money flummoxed and just looking like, what the heck? How on earth? Like, hearing things like Mark Zuckerberg lost $14 billion last week in stock, in perceived stock value, is just utter, just, it is gibberish that cannot be digested by the human brain, by the person who makes $50,000 a year, cannot think about how many lifetimes it would take them to even scratch the surface of what a $14 billion transaction in their life would look like. I cannot imagine. Can you imagine doing something with $14 billion? What would you do with $14 billion that Zuckerberg just dropped like the mic at a Chris Reich will be my alter ego white supremacist blackface comedian that I, if I ever do a Chappelle show, will be Chris Reich. Okay, now Chris Rock dropping the mic at a freaking Chris Rock stand-up special. Getting out of town. All right, where the hell was I? Where was I? I thought I was talking about money. Money, there's a sickness with some people who need money, only care about money. Money makes the world go round. A $14 billion transaction is ridiculous. What would you do with $14 billion? Zuckerberg dropped it like a mic. All right. It's been rewinding in my brain going through what I just said. I don't take notes, so I do it. All right. Now, a $14 billion transaction. None of us can ever understand what that means, nor should we. So how does that happen? What does it mean? Does it mean anything? All right, okay. So let's get a little abstract and then get down to bare bones about how we are as people. So Zuckerberg's $14 billion transaction, even though there's a $14 billion price tag on that valuation and stock and all that other nonsense, just like Bitcoin, which is a virtual currency, that transaction operates in a virtual sphere of financial activity that never gets turned into cash, really. And also, it's a it's a weird public perception value thing about money. For example, Zuckerberg never could have taken that $14 billion in cash and gone into an ATM and went out and spent it on strippers. He couldn't have ever done that because no bank would ever let him pull out $14 billion. And the conversion process of pulling that out of the stock market and selling all that stock and turning it into money would also have a devastating effect on Facebook because everyone would look at that redheaded freak and wonder why he did that. And then sell all their stock so the rest of the stuff he owned would go down. It's all tied together with your actions. And so this $14 billion that we believe Zuckerberg lost the other day is just kind of a figment of our imagination. And really all it was a slice of our perceived value on that Forbes list that we gave Zuckerberg. Because all of a sudden people started revolting against Facebook. And Facebook's ads are getting manipulated to F with people, and it's affecting their minds, which is affecting their votes. It's a way of mind control. The Russians are actually exhibiting mind control on Facebook to convince idiots that Hillary Clinton is raping children in pizza parlors in DC. That's as simple as it gets. And you have to be a super critically minded individual to question literally everything in order to get the story right and not become a victim to an abstract, not abstract, a direct subliminal, mind infecting this. If you say anything, it gets into your mind. This is the whole thing. There's one true statement that you can hear if you ever get sat down in front of a marketing presentation. Like if somebody wants to come in and sell a product for you and be like, hey, I want to come in and I want to do this with your thing, or I want to sell you on something. If they walk in and if you ask them, you say, hey, I'm not sure if I want to invest in advertising for my company, for my product, whatever. I'm not sure if I really want to do advertising. Is advertising worth it? Their response should be as follows. In every study, every time, everywhere imaginable, it has been found that saying your name versus not saying your name has resulted in you getting more sales everywhere. And that is the truest statement on earth. Putting something into someone's mind always has more of an impact than not putting anything into someone's mind. So what you're seeing with the Russian attack on Facebook and fake ads and all this stuff is we don't care if it's true. We don't care if we get caught pushing stuff that's not true because we're a faceless bunch of Russians sitting up in St. Petersburg, you know, rooting for KHL players to score and not die in plane accidents because their Aeroflot system is a freaking joke up there. That's why, don't ever fly Aeroflot. That's your advice from Ken Braverman, is you might go down in an accident. Dude, the Russian president died in a plane accident in Russia because in Russia, here's how things roll. They're like, you know what? All the instruments say it's too foggy to land right here. And they're like, all right, we'll circle again. And they circle twice. And the guy's like, listen, I got a fucking meeting, in Polish. You got to get the fucking plane down, you know? I mean, you got to get the plane down now. And they're just like, dude, it's too foggy. We can't, whatever. Okay, well, you better do it anyway. And then they crash because they can't see where they're landing. Yes, that is how shit works in Russia. Okay, that's what we don't respect about Russia. Is not having regulation, having everybody just wing it while they're coming off or they're still on a vodka bender. Okay? That's what we don't like about Russia. Sorry. I don't want us to turn into Russia. I haven't gotten too political yet. All right, money. Back to money. Let's go back there. So this theoretical $14 billion that Zuckerberg lost that we believe, which is a slice of Facebook, because of I went on that tangent because of the reasons, one of the reasons why Facebook stock is going down is Facebook hasn't realized how to defend itself from being infected by viral Russian hacking on U.S. accounts, which is so easy to stop. I don't even need to get into it. It's so easy to stop. I like what he's doing about notifying you where ads are coming from and stuff like that. That needs to be more interactive. I wasn't going to go down this route on this pod very, very quickly, briefly, under 60 seconds. I'm going to be watching the clock. Under 60 seconds. Here's how you do this. And I'm sorry it has to happen this way, but everyone's going to get a gullibility score, okay, on your account, which is you read something, you read an ad, you read something, and it's either an ad or it's a reposted meme that someone has done, and you are allowed to make a comment or response about it that is not a public comment that other people see. It is a note to Facebook saying, I think this ad is this, or I believe this ad is true, or I do not believe this ad is true, or I want to hear more about this, but I don't think this is true. Or like, I don't want to believe this is true. Like, you're going to have a bunch of different options. It's going to be like the choice of like your sexuality. It's going to be like a million different things you can choose from. So you're going to choose that on the ads. And here's what's going to happen. When you say, like say something pops up about Hillary Clinton raping kids in a pizza parlor in D.C., like running a raping kids thing in the bottom of a pizza parlor or whatever the hell that was, that caused a guy to literally go and shoot someone or something in that building because he's nuts. That ad comes up on your Facebook wall being reposted by your mom. Your mom is saying, oh my God, did you see that Hillary Clinton's been raping children at a pizza parlor in D.C.? You see that ad and you're like, I know this is can't possibly be true. I don't even want to look into this. I know this can't possibly be true. Just vote it out, right? Now, here's what happens. Is not only, I'm past 60 seconds, but we have to finish this. Whenever you start responding to this stuff, it gets logged with Facebook. Facebook has a log of what it believes the answer to that question is about the ad, about whether it's fake or whether it's paid by someone. And if they identify something, if something gets flagged enough as being potentially fake, they look into it immediately, they remove it, they remove the source, they find out where the financial source is coming from, and then go to town, right? And it becomes, if people are spreading fake stuff that is totally get voted down, we get to see it happen and then watch it be moderated, essentially. I think that's the way to handle it. Now, here's the thing about the gullibility index, though. So what happens if you see the Hillary Clinton is raping kids in the bottom of the pizza parlor ad and you say, there's an option of like, yeah, I knew this was always true. I haven't seen the story in a while. Good to see it or something. You're like, yeah, I believe that this is true. Like that'd be your answer on that one. There's a bunch of choices of I believe this is true. I think this is fake, or I'm indifferent and don't know. Like there's a bunch of different answers. But if you answered, I think that Hillary Clinton's pizza parlor thing is real, then, and you do that enough times with enough different topics where like, oh, I think the moon landing was fake. Oh, I think Trump's a great president. Oh, I think, we could have some fun with this. Oh, I think, what would just be some real ones that would happen? Oh, yeah. I think that the NRA is the most American organization in the world. And they would never be abused or manipulated by the Russians to filter money into the U.S. election system illegally and traitorously. I think the NRA is a good American organization. I know that's false. I know they pretend to be. Here's a true statement. The NRA pretends to be super American to convince people that don't realize what they're doing with foreign money in our government to support them. And if they knew that, they'd realize that the Second Amendment, our gun rights, are completely independent of the NRA. And the NRA is going down like a mic at a Chris Reich stand-up special that is going down because you can't be doing that. We should all be super offended at other nations attacking us through our elective system, through our funding process, manipulating our freedom by abusing Citizens United decision and funding all of our campaigns illegally and darkly, essentially. We should all be offended. And in a way, we have to react and we have to morph and defend ourselves somehow, defend our process, because we end up with a situation where nobody gets served except a minute few, or we are intentionally being destroyed from the Russians, for example, in our executive branch by paying off our president, getting him to do whatever he says. Having that stuff happen, we have to defend ourselves some way. And it is about funding the elective process. I'm getting boring. I'm sorry. Money. There's a different story. Something else I wanted to go around with money. I want to talk baseball too, because I had a really good day with the foul yesterday. You know what? I'll talk baseball in my video, so you guys can watch that if you're interested in baseball. Money. Okay. This is really what I wanted the pod to be about. So this disease that people have to earn money, to make it a central focus of their life. Like anything super addictive and overdone, I mean, Aristotle said it, nothing in excess, right? I mean, you can't overdo anything. And if we do that with money, here's what happens with people that do that. I've seen it in their lives, and I don't see how they feel after they die, but I can only guess, right? People that are so concerned about numbers and funny for me to say that, but so concerned about how much they leave to their relatives. I mean, I had this conversation with my grandpa yesterday, and he was freaking out about $140 electric bill. And I'm like, sorry, grandpa. It's like, I'm not mining Bitcoin in here. I'm like, well, we had people over, we're doing the dishwasher. I'm like, I know it's an apartment, but it's summertime and there's air conditioning. I'm like, I'd love to help you pay for it. No, I pay for my electric bill. I know, of course you do, grandpa. So he was flipping out about it. And then he started talking about how he gets Social Security, but not enough because he didn't get credit for all the years he worked. And he gets Social Security, and then he's got his bills. And he was doing the numbers. He's 95, but he's still paying his bills just like he's always been. And he's doing the numbers, and he's realizing that he's got to draw a couple $100 out of savings every month because his bills are more than his Social Security or whatever, right? And so he thought about draining money. And I was doing the math on him, and also he knows it, and no one would ever let him starve. And I was thinking, he's freaking out about spending a couple $100 a month to live, and he's made it to 95, and I just is like, what? Don't you want to experience something else other than be concerned about this number in a bank account that's based on paper on a value that we all just assume is real, that could totally change if our government, our structure, and our society changed? Everything we thought we had money could essentially disappear. Do you really want to rely on that so much to value your life, or do you want to value other things? Do you find value in things other than money and accumulating money and thinking about money? And it's tough because you need money to survive, and when you have a lot of it, you can do things and you give yourself so much more freedom if you use it appropriately. Or if you become a slave to money, You have a bunch of it, but you aren't free because all you care about is making money. That's actually the problem with the addiction, is it's so good that you can't do anything but that. That's the problem with it. That's why everything in extremes is awful, because you block out any other input. You just focus on one thing. That's what addiction does. Anyway, so money. Well, I don't think that we should applaud those that exhibit these extremes in desire, what they will do for money and how it impacts the world. I think that has negative consequences. You can see, you have news articles about people like the Koch brothers being like, they're like, you know, we're not going to shave off some of our billions to fund crap that we don't want, to get government out of everybody's life completely and just run recklessly at our lawless dream where we pollute all the water we want, built making our paper towels, whatever the hell is Koch brothers are doing. We're not going to do that. We can't work with Trump. Yeah, I know you didn't want to work with the Russians, even though didn't Koch's parents work with the Russians too? You never know with those Koch guys. They have so much money that they have too much power. I know I'm meandering and we're 20 minutes in, but what I want to say about is this. I have never given a rat's ass about money, ever. And to my detriment too. Like, you really should have some. You should be responsible. But I never cared. And I always thought, when I drop dead, I don't want to have a penny in my pocket, and I don't care. But I also want to, I want to have like electron money. Oh God, that's funny. That would be the name of my cryptocurrency. Instead of iobits, it should be electrocoin or whatever. Electrons. The funny thing about electrons that they've always been observing in physics is we can never know an exact spot of where an electron is. They're always moving, and the act of observing it affects where it is, we think. So we can never really know. You can never take a picture of one, because if you took a picture of it, it wouldn't exist. It's weird. So I like having money in that form, which is, it appears, I use it, and it's gone. You can't get robbed if you never have anything. Like, can't you be on a yacht enjoying escargot on an iPad, you know, all at the same time, and not have any cash in your pocket, and still be living a life and appear rich, but not be? That's what I'm going for. So I think that in a way is so, well, no, people can't live like that. You got to have money. What am I saying? You got to have money, but you can't let it rule your life. And it should be easier for us to come into contact with money and to spend it, because activity is good for the economy, good for the human soul. It's bad when people live, and there's a reason why they call it the Depression in the 30s. It's funny, because my grandpa grew up in the Depression, so I'm sure that has an impact on why he feels this way. He's seen what it's like when everybody stops being productive and everyone sits and shells up and freaks out because they're worried that they're never going to get another paycheck again. And what that does to everyone, it was called depression for a reason. Everybody was depressed and activity was depressed. So you don't ever want to do that. You want to breed activity, which means more money should be spread around. The answer is always spend more. It really is. That's the one thing that both parties can agree on. It's also, like, what's the worst thing that happens if you spend more? Oh, you got to borrow more, so we make fake more money out of the Treasury, like, or out of the Federal Reserve, and the Treasury buys it. Like, oh, well. If you think about life that way, I know it's kind of, really? Is that really all it's worth? Like, do we sweat all this money that's just a figment of our imagination? The answer is yes. But we also honor the commitments of what that money represents. So, I don't know. I just got thinking about money today because I found a way to make some money with the baseball file yesterday. And I was like, yeah, money should be easy. You should have to work for it, but also it should be easy once you achieve something. And it sucks that we all, as I walk by a fountain here, it sucks that so many people let just the sheer desire and also necessity to make what you would consider to be relatively small slivers of global amounts of money, what they will do and how they will be affected by what they have to do to get that. It's just sad. And life shouldn't be that way. And I always think that artificial intelligence, machine learning, robotics, advancements are going to lead to a beneficial world where money is not as hard to come by, or the value we get for it is different. So it's been a long pod this morning, but there's a lot going on. So get that dolly, yo.